Good morning. It's Friday, March 13th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
War on the workers, and it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war. Flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every working stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't pull like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
That's right, Ann. It's about time we call the shots. That's Ann Feeney. She starts off every edition of the Brain Labor Report with War on the Workers. And it's a scary Friday the 13th, I'm telling you, here, March 13th, 2009. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
And this is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday, where a half-hour show starts at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And you can hear us via KSKQ. That's our low-power FM radio station, 94.9, right here in Ashland, Oregon. We're a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. This is community radio at its best, folks. You can hear us, too, via the internet anywhere on the planet at www.kskq.org. Always near the top of our half-hour show, we like to bring you 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. It's called the Workers' Independent News. You won't hear this anywhere else in Southern Oregon. Hate Radio, KCMX, won't even touch these issues. This is what's important for ordinary working people, folks. So for a scary Friday the 13th, it's March 13th, 2009. Here is the Workers' Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. General Motors says it won't need to borrow any more money from the government in March because its cost reduction efforts have saved more money than anticipated. The loans are keeping GM and Chrysler afloat as they cope with sharply reduced sales in this recession. GM has requested a total of $30 billion in federal loans to see it through the financial crisis. It has until the end of March to prove to the Obama administration's auto task force that GM is viable. GM had previously asked for $2.6 billion in April and another $4.5 billion in 2010, with access to a credit line of an additional $7.5 billion. The UAW is still negotiating with GM and Chrysler to come to terms over retiree health care and other issues before the two companies report to the Auto Task Force. Bernard Madoff's treacherous crimes have stolen the retirement security of thousands of workers whose unions had millions of dollars in pension funds invested with him. At least 60,000 union workers in New York alone depend on pension funds that were invested with Madoff. In upstate New York, construction unions had at least $354 million invested with Madoff. Plumbers and Steamfitters Local 73 in Oswego, New York, for example, was hit very hard, as was Carpenters Local 747. Another state has chosen employee furloughs as a cost reduction measure. Jesse Russell reports.
Alabama is the most recent state to choose employee furloughs as a way to cut a ballooning budget gap. On Wednesday, Alabama's personnel board approved a measure that will allow agencies to furlough employees for up to 24 days per year in order to cut costs. The new rule will go into effect on April 15th, and it is being challenged by the Alabama State Employees Association. The union, representing the majority of state workers, has taken the fight to the legislature's legislative council. And if the council approves the new rules, the union will challenge the state in court. State agencies can only use the furloughs after they have used up other cost-cutting measures, and employees may only be furloughed for a maximum of 2 days per month. Alabama joins a growing list of states choosing or considering employee furloughs to cut costs. Others include California, New Jersey, Georgia, and Hawaii. Here is today's economic report. Even the top hat-wearing and monocle-sporting billionaires of the world are feeling the global recession in their money bins. According to Forbes magazine, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett swapped positions for the top spot, but both lost money this year. Buffett fell to second place on the list and saw his vast fortunes dwindle from $62 billion in 2008 to a mere $37 billion this year. Gates went from $58 billion in 2008 to a scant net worth of $40 billion.
For more labor news, be sure to visit laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Got a guest this morning, Mr. Peter Ferris will be with us. He's the executive director of the Oregon Manufactured Homeowners United. We're going to find out that the attacks on workers doesn't include just the losing of homes. It also includes a whole debacle that's gone on with mobile homes. That's right, manufactured homes. And yet another place where working people are being discriminated against in this country. We're going to find out here in the state of Oregon about it when we talk to Peter Ferris. And first, we have a song for you, and this is The Sick Note. Why did we choose The Sick Note today? Ann Feeney sings The Sick Note, and this is a spoof on occupational health and safety. Safety is a very serious, it kills a lot of people in the workplace every year. We'll do a show on that for you. But for this particular Friday the 13th, it's March 13th today, we're going to do a little spoof on it, and Ann Feeney's going to help us. This is called The Sick Note by Ann Feeney. Okay, here we go.
Dear boss, I write this note to you to tell you of my plight. And at the time of writing, I am not a pretty sight. My body is all black and blue, my face a deathly grey. And I write this note to say why Paddy's not at work today. Whilst working on the 14th floor, some bricks I had to clear. To throw them down from such a height was not a good idea. But then my foreman came along the bloody awkward sod, and he said I'd have to cart them down the ladder in me hod. Well, clearing all those bricks by hand, it seemed so very slow, that I hoisted up a barrel and secured the rope below. But in my haste to do the job, I was too dense to see that a barrel full of building bricks was heavier than me. And so when I untied the rope, the barrel fell like lead, and clinging tightly to the rope, I started up instead. I shot up like a rocket when, to my dismay, I found that halfway up I met that bloody barrel coming down. The barrel broke my collarbone as to the ground it sped. And when I reached the top, I banged the pulley with my head. Still clinging tightly, numb with shock from this almighty blow. When the barrel spilled out half its bricks, 14 floors below. Now when those bricks had fallen from the barrel to the floor, I then outweighed the barrel, so I started down once more. Still clinging tightly to the rope, my body racked with pain. And halfway down, I met that bloody barrel once again. The force of this collision halfway up the office block caused multiple operations and a nasty state of shock. Still clinging tightly to the rope, I thundered toward the ground and landed on the broken bricks the barrel scattered round. I lay there bleeding on the bricks. I thought I'd passed the worst. Then the barrel hit the pulley wheel and then its bottom burst. A shower of bricks rained down on me. I hadn't got a hope. As I lay there groaning on the ground, I let go the bloody rope. The barrel then being heavier, it started down once more and landed right across me as I lay upon the floor. It broke 3 ribs in my left arm, and I can only say that I hope you'll understand why Paddy's not at work today.
Okay, and Feeney, and that's the sick note, and that is a laugher. Is that pretty much fun, I'm telling you? And I used that one time. This is Wes Brain talking to you right now, the host of the Brain Labor Report. I worked with occupational health and safety, and when new employees go to work, you put together a new employee orientation that involves health and safety issues. In fact, very important that be done very soon when someone comes to work, because statistically, new workers get hurt quite a bit. That's right. There's a lot to learn depending on what your job is. But I'm telling you, it is a fact. So there's the bit on that. Having said that, I would play that song sometimes, and it was a good icebreaker, if you will. Everybody laugh, and then we talk about the seriousness of safety and what it was all about and how occupational health and safety was brought about by workers and the many accidents that we had and the many things that people can do proactively to take care of hazards in the workplace. So that was a fun job, and an interesting way of introducing it was Ann Feeney's The Sick Note. So there you have it. And what are we going to do now? You know what happened? We tried to get a hold of we set this up, a week ago or so. Peter Ferris was to be our guest this morning, and either I got the wrong number or I misdialed it. I don't know what happened, but what do you do when you're doing live radio and things do not go as planned? The show goes on. It's kind of like life, folks, and I'm telling you, it's very much like life, because oftentimes things don't go as planned, and guess what? Life does go on. Okay, with that in mind, we always have a plan B on the Brain Labor Report. And Ann Feeney sings another song about Rebuild America, Keep Hope Alive. This was written some time ago. It sounds like an Obama, doesn't it? A name of a campaign song for President Barack Obama. This is called, again, Rebuild America, Keep Hope Alive. It's cut number 2 off her album, Have You Been to Jails for Justice? And as soon as we get her queued up, we're going to play it for you. Okay, here we go right now. We got it. Okay, here we go.
Let's start with the story of Rodney King. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. I watched them beat him on TV, and Simi Valley set them free. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Hold on.
Hold on.
Keep your eyes. which dies in vain. As killer cops hit the streets again, keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. A hope was crushed in Albany as Diallo's killers walked out free. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Violence must cease. When will they learn it? No justice, no peace.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
We've got to educate our children, not put them in jail. By whatever means necessary, we must prevail.
Hold on.
What could I do? Remember that unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on.
Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on. Oh, hold on.
Hold on.
Yeah, sisters and brothers, keep your eyes on the prize. Cause we're building a dream and the dream never dies.
Hold on.
Feeney, thanks for helping us out here on the Brain Labor Report this morning. And we were successful. Mr. Peter Ferris, can you hear me this morning?
Whoop. I can't hear you.
Okay. Peter Ferris, can you hear me this morning? Hello?
Hi there.
Hello?
Hi there.
He's not hearing me.
Hi, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Okay, hear him okay? Sorry with the connection problem there. Folks, we're on the phone with Peter Ferris. He is over in Walport, Oregon on the coast, and Peter is the executive director of the Oregon Manufacturers Homeowners United, and that's a group that advocates for manufactured homeowners here in Oregon. Peter, let me start by thanking you for being our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report.
Well, thank you, Wes. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, tell us briefly, very briefly. We don't have a lot of time. We've got less than 10 minutes for this interview. Peter Ferris, tell us, just briefly, tell us a little bit about Mr. Peter Ferris, please.
Well, for the last 5 years, I've been working on this issue of homeowners' issues.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your group. Now, you're the executive director of Oregon Manufactured Homeowners United. What's that group all about?
And we incorporated 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. We're a small organization still, but we're a grassroots organization trying to get some leverage in the legislature. I've worked two sessions, the 2007 session and currently this session. We have three bills in, and of course the most important one is the rent control bill.
Okay, the rent control bill, and folks, I'm not really smart. I looked this up ahead of time. House Bill 3196. Tell us about that bill. What's this all about, Peter?
Well, what it's all about, and let me frame it for you, when the market forces don't work in parks, in manufactured home parks, and by that I mean if you were a renter in an apartment and your rent was increased, you could say, well, I'm getting out of here. But that doesn't work in our situation because we own a home. And so what happens is that we're captive to these rent increases unless we can move our home, which we can't in many cases. And also, if we can, it costs somewhere between $12,000 and $20,000 to move it. So I feel that our industry needs to be regulated just like a public utility. So that's the situation. The other framing that I have to say is that we have had in the last 15 years a number of out-of-state corporations who have moved in, and they are not like the mom and pops. They are they came in interested in flipping these parks. They're not interested in service. They're not interested in maintenance. And by and large, they're our big problem. Given those two factors, I put together this bill. It took me 4 months, and I think it's a good bill. It's fair for all the parties, and we're going to be coming down and having a big meeting with a number
We're going to be over in Eagle Point, Oregon, and I think you have that planned, Peter. You told me for Saturday. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And
at the Butte Crest Park in Eagle Creek, Oregon.
Eagle Point.
You can go to our website, www.mhclosure.com, and you can get directions from there on the pop-up. So you can do that, and you'll know where to go.
Sounds really good. Now, what time is that meeting to on Saturday there, Peter?
It's at 10 o'clock at the clubhouse.
At the clubhouse. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is interesting stuff. The Brain Labor Report is very interested in the attacks on just ordinary working people. That's a pretty big category of folks, too, by the way. And it strikes me that those attacks, as we well know, include housing. Everybody who pays attention, right, to mainstream media knows that folks are losing their homes all the time. It's about the bankruptcies that are going on. And by the way, market forces don't work in lots of areas for working people. We're finding that out day by day, Peter. One of the things that struck me as you were talking, though, Peter, was that all over this state, maybe all around the country, people are talking about the need for affordable housing. And in fact, the manufactured homes that you're talking about, those are, Peter, affordable housing. And so yet here is another attack on ordinary working people. That's the angle we look at on the Brain Labor Report, as the war on the workers just continues in this country. Any thoughts
on that? I would say too that the war is on not only working class families, but on seniors. 55% of the population of the mobile home park residents in this state are seniors, and they are on limited incomes, and so when their rents go up, they are hard pressed and have to often to play triage with, you know, their food and medicines and rents. And this particularly hurts widowed. It's really a woman's issue in many cases, because a majority of the people living in the senior parks are widows.
The attacks on our seniors in this country are incredible. By the way, I would point out that that's an attack on workers too, because in many, many times, these are people who worked an entire lifetime. I mean, got up, went to work every day. In fact, worked to become part of the American dream. And one of the saddest things we do in this country is the way that we treat our elders. Folks, we ought to pay attention to that, because you know why? Well, the clock's ticking. We are all getting older, and that is going to be us every single day. Peter, I'm glad you pointed that out. What does HB 3196 attempt to do? And by the way, we've got about three and a half minutes here.
It kills two birds with one stone. One of the biggest problems we have in the parks is that we have contentious issues that never get resolved. And the other thing is, of course, the increase in rent over the last 10, 15 years. So I have tried to answer both of those questions. We limit the amount of raises to CPI. We also allow the landlords to do capital improvements, but they have to be it has to be totally transparent, amortized over a period of years, and then when the improvement is paid for, then the rents go down again to, you know, what they were.
Okay.
And also we have an appeal process for landlords if they don't feel like they're making a sufficient income. But most of these parks are really cash cows, and they do very well. Most park owners don't want to open their books because we would find out how well they're doing. I'm talking about more the corporate landlords. There's two kinds of landlords out there, and so the other part of this is that we have an informal mediation process right now. But these issues under the law that I've bill that I've drafted would be resolved in the final analysis by binding arbitration, and this really is important, very critical aspect of this bill.
Okay. Folks, we're speaking with Peter Ferris this morning. He's our guest on the Brain Labor Report. If you're joining us late, we're almost done, about ready to say goodbye. We've been talking about House Bill 3196, which is basically rent control for people who own manufactured homes and they are residing in parks. And that's what it's all about. Peter's going to be down here tomorrow on Saturday at 10 o'clock. He's going to be over in Eagle Point. Peter, what's the name of that place again, the park over there?
It's Butte Crest Park.
Okay.
And it's located in Eagle Creek.
Eagle Point, and, yes.
It's at 633 Archwood. And it's a park of about 120 units. And they have a clubhouse front and center. So once you get there, you can get right to the park. You go to our website, www.mhclosure.com. You will see directions there. So we hope to have a good group out there. We hope to really talk this issue up, and we want to bring a lot of the people from the Medford area to Salem when we get this heard.
Well, you've got me convinced. HB 3196. I'm behind it. This sounds like what ought to be part of a stimuli program for ordinary people. I just like this bill a lot. Peter, we got to say goodbye. We're running out of time, but thanks for taking the time this morning and talking to us on the Brain Labor Report.
And thank you, Wes, for giving me the opportunity to do so.
Okay. Well, with that, folks, we're out of here. Have a safe weekend. Have a safe day on Friday the 13th, March 13th, 2009. We'll be back again on Monday. Talk to you then. Bye-bye, everybody.